The scripture reading today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we'll read verses 9 through 14. The Lord your God will help you succeed in everything you do, in your own fertility, your livestock's offspring, and your land's produce. Everything will be great, because the Lord will once again enjoy doing good things for you, just as he enjoyed doing them for your ancestors, and because you will be obeying the Lord your God's voice, keeping his commandments and his regulations that are written in this instruction scroll, and because you will have returned to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your being. This commandment that I am giving you right now is definitely not too difficult for you. It isn't unreachable. It isn't up in the heavens somewhere so that you have to ask who will go up to us for heaven for us and get it that we can hear it and do it. Nor is it across the ocean somewhere so that you have to ask who will cross the ocean for us and get it for us that we can hear it and do it. Not at all. The word is very close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, waiting for you to do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What's the most helpful thing to you when you are faced with change, with challenge, with uncertainty? At such times, it is important to have a strong and decisive leader. But what happens when the challenges and the uncertainty comes from the loss of just that kind of leader? Well, that is where the Israelites found themselves in today's scripture reading. Moses was making his farewell address to the assembly. Moses, who had stood before and up to the abusive power of Pharaoh. Moses, by whose courageous leadership the Israelites had fled oppression and found safe passage through the Red Sea. Moses, who led them through the perils of the wilderness for 40 years. Moses, whose cry to God provided manna to eat and water to drink from a rock. Moses, who had stood before the covenant-making and righteous God, receiving the sacred law by which they were to live their lives and base their community. While there is no good time to lose such a leader, this was truly bad timing. The people were at a breakthrough. After these 40 long years of aimless wandering, they were poised at the gate of the Promised Land. After all this time, after all of the struggles, doubts, fears, and yes, quarreling, would they have what it took to finish their course? Would they complete the journey and enter into the vision and possess the Promised Land? This was kind of a deathbed kind of scene, you know, where looking down the pipe of impending separation, there's a shift of perspective. Such a setting might have spurred feelings of guilt in the minds of the Israelites. They had complained to and about Moses all the way. They had blamed him every time there was nothing to eat or their feet hurt. They had been quick to turn toward the task of replacing him when he was too long delayed in returning from his mountaintop retreat with God. But they knew Moses had their backs. They knew without him they would probably still be laying down their lives in servitude and bondage in Egypt, brick by oppressive brick. They knew that without Moses they would have surely been captured and dealt swift and unrelenting punishment at the hands of the pursuing Egyptian army. They knew without his intervention they would probably have returned to the very hands of their previous bondage, more willing to return to the known horrors of their past, rather than to enter into the unknown challenges of the future. The thought of losing Moses might have reminded them not only of what he had done for them, but also of the many ways that Their obstinate rebelling and complaining had made his job so much the more difficult. Guilt could have added weight to the fears and uncertainty that loomed in their minds. In these intimate moments of closure, all eyes were on Moses, longing for some enduring words of significance that he might have to share. What would he say? Would there be a parting blessing from the one who had been their anchor of hope? As the Israelites listened for Moses' parting blessing, we find ourselves bending an ear as well. For like the Israelites, we too are in need of a blessing, an encouraging word. We have our own challenges. We find ourselves surrounded by changes that are beyond our control. We stand in the midst of journeys in progress. So many tasks begun, none having been completed. We are caught in no man's land. We can't go back, but we find ourselves unable to even imagine making it another step forward. Not on our own. Not alone. We need to hear whatever it is Moses is about to say. With the wisdom of a sage and a perspective widened and deepened by life's final days, Moses speaks. He shares what he can see in Israel's future as he stares with eternity's gaze. Moses promises God's blessing and prosperity upon the people because, as some versions translate in verse 10, "You will be obeying the Lord your God's voice, keeping His commandments and His regulations that are written in this scroll, and because you have returned to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your being." There they stood at the crossroads of change and challenge, at a point of potential breakthrough, and Moses, despite their obstinance and failures, tells the people, "You've got this." Was Moses delirious? He knew the people of Israel all too well. Their complaining, the bickering lot that they were. Yet, he was picturing them, in his mind, obeying and keeping the Lord's commandments. In his mind's eye, Moses looked to the day when Israel will have returned to the Lord with all their heart, with all their being. What made him so sure? What made him so sure that the people would change? What made him so sure that they would see the blessings of God after 40 years of rebellion? Was it a tired, wilderness-weary old man desperately trying to grasp and redeem some meaning and legacy for the life that he had lived? I think it might have had to do more with Moses' understanding of both God and God's commandments than his experience with the people that gave him the assurance that their future was one of abundance and blessing. Moses knew the limitations of the people, but he also knew God. He knew God to be gracious. He knew God to be kind, a kind God who stooped down to reveal his will to his people, a God whose mercy had been exhibited time and time again. A God who wanted to bless the people. So Moses proclaims, "You've got this because God's got you." Moses is known as the guy with the tablets, the one who met with God on the mountaintop, the one who received the law, the one who then gave God's commandments to the people. Deuteronomy might be considered a sermon, a series of sermons. Deuteronomy presents Moses standing on the plains of Moab with all Israel assembled before him, with Moses preaching. Eugene Peterson says that Moses' sermon in Deuteronomy does what all sermons are intended to do. Take God's words, written and spoken in the past, take human experience of the listening congregation, then reproduce the words and experience as a single event right now. In this present moment, no word that God has spoken is a mere literary artifact to be studied. No human experience is dead history merely to be regretted or admired. Moses knows the people and their experience, but he also knows the word he has received, lived, and taught to the people. So, as any skilled preacher might do, he summarizes it for those who are understandably overwhelmed by it all, those who have long since tuned out the preacher's voice, those who spend all day Saturday trying to remember what was that fifth commandment about, those who for the life of them can't possibly remember all ten, much less obey them. I mean, it is enough to cause the people to think this sermon is irrelevant for them, for their lives, for the world. Yeesh. Talk about being out of touch. Between the guilt that they were feeling about their riddled relationship with Moses and the weight of the message he had given them, it might have been enough to make them just want to give up. In this, his closing sermon of the series, Moses says, "Let me make it all clear. Let me boil it down for you. The commandment, not commandments, that I am giving you right now is definitely not too difficult for you. It isn't unreachable. It isn't up in the heavens somewhere so that you have to ask who will go to heaven and get it for us that we can hear it and do it. Nor is it across the ocean somewhere that you have to ask who will cross the ocean and get it for us that we can hear it and do it. Not at all. The word, not words, the word is very close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, waiting for you to do it. You've got this, because God's got you, and God's word lives in you already." So here's the blessing that Moses offers the children of Israel and us. Because Moses knows God, because he knows the word of God, he says, when you face challenge and change, when you see so many roads started and too few journeys completed, know this: you've got this. With a God who wants to bless you, with a God who is gracious and kind, with a God whose word is also gracious and kind and living and transforming our souls, ringing from our mouth in praise, there is no need to ever accept servitude or oppression for ourselves or for any of God's children. There is no need to ever turn back. There is no reason to not finish the journey. Let us keep the faith until we arrive at the place of God's fullest blessing and joy. We've got this. Because God's got us. Amen.